You've heard it all your life, and not just from your mother, although you probably did hear it from your mother. You have such a great voice. Did you ever think of doing voiceover? Let's demystify this fun, flexible industry here on the VoiceOver Pod with Justine Reese, brought to you by Such a Voice. I'm Justine, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so, where we will talk to people that have sat in your shoes and then became successful in the voiceover industry. We will talk to people who hire voiceover talent. We'll talk about recording, sound, auditioning, casting. We're going to share some stories. We're going to share some secrets. And then, who knows, you may be my next guest.
Hello and welcome to the VoiceOver Pod with your host, me, Justine Reese. Our guest today is author and writer Florence Reese Kraut. And we are going to talk today about the voices of authors and how the voices of authors get turned into an audiobook. So you have a unique situation here because Florence Reese Kraut is the author and I am the narrator of two books. That one that was just recently released called Street Corner Dreams, and the other is called How to Make a Life. The other secret we might as well just tell everybody is...
Well, it's not such a secret, Justine, because my name is Florence Reese Kraut, and your name is Justine Reese, so maybe they can get an idea that we're related.
We are related. But I'm sure even if we weren't related, you would have picked me to do your audio.
I would have.
There's no doubt. But this was an interesting process because honestly, it was my first audiobook. And I do believe it was your first published novel.
It was.
Which we didn't get to the audio till about a year after the publishing date, which is not ideal. And we did it differently the second time. But let's just kind of get into what this process is like, or at least what it was like for us. For anybody listening out there, before we do that, can you give us a little background about you rather than have me tell everybody about you, which alludes a lot to the subject matter of these two books, which are historical fiction, I would say.
Yes, they are historical fiction. Okay, so I've been writing my whole life, but I really had a whole of a career as a social worker. And when I retired, so that gives you an idea about what place in my life I am at, I devoted myself to completing my first novel, How to Make a Life, which was a very challenging novel to bring to audio. And I'll let Justine, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
I reinvented myself when I retired and fulfilled a lifelong dream, which was to become a published author. Mm-hmm. And after I published the first book, I wrote a second book, Street Corner Dreams. And again, we did the audio for that. And so now I feel that I can call myself a writer. When people say, what do you do? I say, I'm a writer. And I've had two published novels, which came very late in life.
Yeah. Which also adds to the question or the answer that it is never too late.
It's never too late.
The things that we tell ourselves, and this comes up with a lot of our voiceover students, so I think it's very applicable, that, you know, I should have done this. I should have done this when I was 20, 25, if I'd been younger. And the truth of the matter is, both with writing, I believe, and with voiceover, there is a bit of an ageless component to it. It's never too late to get a book published. It doesn't matter how old you are. And voiceover, there's always a market for diversity and different ages of voices. And you'd really get in voiceover, it's really cool because you get like an age range. I don't even know if you need an age range as a writer. But when
the thing is, I do think there is benefit to having being a little bit older because you have a lot of experience to call on.
That's right.
Experience and stories that you've heard and stories in your head, and it makes
certainly
it
those.
Makes it, it gives you a richer background to write from. But I learned how to write all those years when I was working as a social worker,
right?
Because I was taking classes and I was practicing and I was publishing stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how to Make a Life was born from short stories.
So would you definitely say always be writing?
Oh, yes. That is, I mean, you know, if you want to write, write.
Yeah.
You know, that's just practice writing. I had a teacher who said, nobody thinks they can go up onto the stage at Carnegie Hall and play the piano. You know, they have to practice. You have to put in your 10,000 hours,
yeah,
which I did.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And I know that, bearing witness to it. And I would say the same thing in voiceover. One thing I really learned about myself as a voiceover talent by doing the first book is how it kept me in the game of creation, which is something voiceover talent doesn't get to do as often because we're working on a 30-minute commercial or a few pages of a narration. So if you choose to do audiobook, and this is for anybody listening out there, you get to work on a long form piece of art and collaborate with a writer.
Right.
And so that is what I think is interesting that we can talk about. And just because we did it this way doesn't mean it's always done this way, but I've talked to a lot of voiceover talent who do audiobooks, and it's not that different, except that we probably had a little bit more communication than most authors and talent. Right.
Well, I think we did for two reasons with the first book. First of all, we were both newbies at this.
Right.
And we were just trying to make this the best that we possibly could. But the second reason was that this was a very challenging book to do an audio because it had so many characters. And this is funny because I had a teacher who said to me, Florence, you did your first book. You really did it the hard way.
Yeah.
To write from so many points of view and present so many characters. She said, try it the next time. Do it with one character. Well, I couldn't quite do that. I did it with four the next time.
Right.
But it was a lot easier, I think,
yes,
to do that audiobook than it was. Because what we did was we had a bunch of characters who not only were men and women, but they started out young and they aged because it took place over 100 years.
And so they were from other countries.
And they were, some of them were immigrants and some of them were not. So it was very challenging.
We had to make, you know, I had to make decisions, and this is where things got interesting. So just to sort of give you a little background for anyone listening, this book is called How to Make a Life. And when I talk about what's fun for me to tell people is I counted up, and this is probably not even right, but I think I said I played probably 45 different characters, you know, if you count all the ancillary cab drivers and all that. And from, you know, seven different countries over a span of 100 years.
Right.
And so when people ask, like, well, I want to get into audiobooks, you got to remember, you might introduce a character on page 10 and not see that character again until page 210. And have to recall what you did with that character.
So it's
a bit challenging.
Yes, it was challenging. But I must say, Justine was fantastic. And I had, you know, I jumped in with both feet because I just had faith that my niece, because that's our relationship, Justine is my dear niece, and that she could do this. And I was right.
And
people
of course,
had listened to this book and said it was like listening to a radio play.
Yeah.
And it really brought the book to life.
It was a thrilling experience to bring a book like this to life and sort of start to live all these characters that are, you know, Florence is a great writer. And so there's a lot of heart and emotion and there's a ton of dialogue.
Yes.
So, which as a kid, it's very interesting. As a kid, I didn't like reading books unless there was a lot of dialogue. And I think that's because I'm a bit theatrical, but it just kept me interested. And have you had that feedback from people, regardless of the audio or how they read it, that they really enjoy that?
They are saying, you know, things they said about that, they should make that into a Netflix series because the characters were so interesting and following them was interesting.
And we have actually had producers in Los Angeles say the same. So it's not, this is not just your friends and family that say it. And
no, it's not my friends.
Hold on, people, because it still could happen for both books.
And so, they said the same thing about Street Corner Dreams.
Yes.
Which was didn't take 100 years. It only took 35.
Yes.
It went from World War I to World War II, to right. the beginning of World War II. And it was, and during those years, we had the characters grow from a young woman of 18, mm-hmm. and her son was an infant and grew to be a 20 odd year old then.
Yeah.
So it had its challenges as well.
It did. In a way, I am glad we did the first one first, because it's sort of like, you know, put your feet in the fire. But let's talk about our process. So what would happen is I would record, and then I would do a little bit of editing, and I would send Florence and Alan, my uncle, the raw audio for them to listen and sort of do a quality check. And I would miss words and things, maybe full phrases sometimes. But how is that process for you, especially in the beginning, the first book, when you were hearing the characters for the first time, which you may have had an idea of what you wanted them to sound like, and you maybe didn't. And there were a couple times that we had to make some changes. Which I want to talk about that. But what was that process like on your end?
Well, when we started the book, we had a discussion about what kind of an act, because the first characters in the book were the immigrants. And we had a discussion about how do they sound?
Right.
You know, what kind of an accent do they have? And I must say, you did a really wonderful job with the accents of the immigrants.
Yeah.
They sounded just right. Well, then we had the next generation that came. They all were born in this country,
right.
in New York, in Brooklyn.
Right.
And we had some, you sort of thought in your mind about the New York accent, because you are from California. And I think we didn't think it through as well as we could. Yeah. So Todd, later in the book, we said, let's tone down the New York accent a little bit.
There were certain characters, but you had such good reason. For instance, I'm thinking about, I can't remember which character it was, but one of the male characters came in. So the way that this book is written in very short chapters, and you're traveling through in sort of different circular stories that are surrounded around the family of the Wisemans. And then little things are happening where a couple's over here on a camping trip and a couple's over here traveling, and, you know, the sisters go to India. So there was a gentleman that came in, you probably remember which character it was, but I did him with a kind of heavy New York accent. You were like, you know, he's more educated than this other character.
That's
and in
right.
order to make that distinction.
That was the husband of one of the sisters. He was a lawyer,
right.
and he didn't have a New York accent. And so
right.
you changed it.
Right.
But having you send this raw material to us
right.
gave us the chance for you to change it. It's better to do it though before you record it. So
right.
you don't have
so
to
we
re-record.
Learned, yeah, like I got a little better at that in the second book to check right. things out with you beforehand as opposed to recording a whole chapter. Other things were like pronunciation of Yiddish words that, right. you know. I might have found on a pronunciation website one way, but you're like, no, it's this way. So different things like that. I would just say to anybody who wants advice about this, authors and voice talent, is just go through the book and have those conversations beforehand.
Before you do the audio.
Right.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're doing an immigration story with lots of different accents and languages.
But even if you have, if it's just characters, you do want to differentiate them.
Yeah.
You know, because people are not seeing them. If you were watching a movie, it's not so important because you have the vision of them.
Yes.
But this way you just have their voice. So
That's
you
right.
have to have them differentiated.
Right.
And you have to remember which one is which.
That's right. And that's where, you know, you have to get good at this. You, if you're really going to do this, voice talent out there listening, this is a skill set that you're going to want. Now, I used an outside editor. I did some editing. A lot of narrators are also the full producers of the audiobooks, and there are different ways of doing that. And the group that you, or the entity that you use to end the entrance point for audio right now is ACX, which is, we're not going to get into the details of that, but it is a whole thing you do need to learn about. And that is attached to Amazon, but it's also the entrance point for all the other outlets we have found out for audio. Let's talk about some of the subject matter of the books. And by the way, we're going to have the links. They're going to be listed here to purchase audio. This is being recorded the day before Women's History Month begins, March 2024. So we are going to do a special on the audio with other outlets like Spotify and Findaway that are not Audible. Some people don't want to be doing a subscription to Audible, although it's a great, I use my 5 credits or however many credits I get. I just love ingesting the audio. So anyway, we want to just note that there's going to be a special pricing on Spotify. I think we're going to do around $4.99 for the audio of Street Corner Dreams. Let's get into the idea of writing and immigrant stories and why you like to write about immigrant stories and a little bit about our family.
Okay. Well, obviously, my first book, which is very common writers, is takes heavily from my memories of our very large family, which my grandparents came here at the turn of the beginning of the 20th century, they had almost all of their children were born in the United States and were American citizens from birth.
Right,
but the immigrant stories, you know, we all come from immigrants. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a particularly poignant and important discussion now, considering how much the political issue about immigration has become so huge. Mm-hmm. And I was just very interested in how do people come and adapt and become Americans, because every family came here from somewhere else. Think
right.
about that.
Right. That's right.
Except, of course, for the Native Americans who we somehow eclipsed in many very cruel ways.
Yeah.
So I was very interested in that. And when I was growing up, and I think, I don't know if I ever said this to you, but I remember I didn't know any elderly people who spoke English without an accent. And one time I was on the
bus
in New York City with my mother. And it was a very old lady talking to somebody else. And I was a great eavesdropper, by the way. And I was listening to her and looking at her, staring at her, because she was speaking beautiful, beautiful English. And she had this crushed velour face, you know, all wrinkled. And she turned to me and she said, "Why are you staring at me, young lady?" And, you know, I couldn't say to her, because you're speaking normally.
You don't have a German accent.
You don't have an accent, but it wasn't just Jewish. It was Irish. Yeah. It was Italian. It was all those, mm-hmm. you know, these were the people I grew up with. Yeah. So it was very funny.
You know, I can relate to that because on my mom's side of the family, my
right.
grandparents were German and had accents.
Yes,
and all of their sisters had
all the tantas and the
tantas.
Yes.
I used to get very confused because we have such a huge family on both sides of my family that I would get who's the tanta and who's the aunt? And who's Aunt Pauline? but one thing that was very interesting that it wasn't really occurring to me while we were in it, but certainly after we completed the first book, is there are some family stories that were birthed in our family, even though they're fictionalized. And
yes.
There is something, and I just had a conversation with one of our new students at Such a Voice today about what, and it was actually her that brought it up. She said, you know, I feel like I'm going to get to leave something behind for my kids. And I was like, that's how I feel about these books, is not just for my kids, but just a legacy. It's evergreen. Okay. Writing is evergreen and audiobooks are evergreen. Other kinds of audio are too, but the catalog of someone to go up and pick up a book off a shelf or go to a library, or now with the advent of audiobook, that's so much more widespread than it was when it was like 32 CDs for, you know, for a book or something. What do you think, or what's been the feedback about having your book on audio form? We've heard that 30% of readers ingest audio, particularly fiction, in this way. What's been the feedback for you about, you know, if you've heard one way or another when you go to book
club? I do know that there are many people who they commute.
Yes.
At least do anyway.
Well,
I listen to audiobooks. That's how I pass the time in traffic jams.
Yes.
So there are a lot of people who listen to audios, and there are many people who also have vision problems who listen to audios. Yes. And there are people who do both.
Uh-huh.
Who read and listen.
Yep.
To the same book simultaneously.
That's right.
So when they are home and they're in bed, they may be reading. And then the next morning they get in their car and they turn on the audio. And by the magic of Audible, this is particularly with
what
Audible does, they pick up right where they left off the night before.
That is
They love that. They absolutely love that.
And there's a feature, this is more for nonfiction, but there is a great feature on Audible that you can make notes.
Yes.
And go back, or if there's a particular passage you're very moved by or a quote, but actually absolutely for fiction as well, a segment that you really resonated with you or reminded you of your own family, you can mark it, you can make your own note and then go right to that spot. So it's really cool.
I think that also, there are the books, paper books, there are ebooks, and I have heard that 80% of people are now reading on their devices,
their Kindle,
on
their
computers, even on their phones.
Yes,
you know, it's not hard to read on your phone, it really isn't.
No. You know, if you think about, remember when you would have to, if you had vision problems and you would get the big print. Yeah. Now you can just expand with your iPad.
Right. And that's another reason that a lot of people really like the ebooks.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that there's so much choice.
That's right. I think it's made reading, it's kind of reinvented reading into many new audiences and spaces.
But before we go to that, while we're talking about audio, I just learned something today that is not going to make you happy, but I'm going to announce it. And that was, I got an ad on my my phone that offered AI.
Yeah, I know about this.
Audible for audiobooks.
We know about this, and
I was shocked. I don't know why I was shocked, because obviously, you know.
The truth of the matter is, if you use that, it's going to sound horrible right now. I have a friend, speaking of this, because this comes up in our classes all the time. Everybody wants to know what's going on, so we can't ignore it. Right now, I do not believe AI has the ability to have human emotion and range and any of that. And you certainly can't direct it.
Right.
So I don't recommend it, authors out there, and your book's not going to sound very good. Also, I had a friend who wanted me to do her audiobook. It was a compilation book, and I just never got around to auditioning. Things got away, and then she emailed me and said, I have a job for you. I really would like you to do the book. However, I have to break the contract with the woman that I hired because I know she's using AI. I can just tell.
Oh, wow.
She couldn't prove it. And she was unable to break the contract. So the book just sounds not good. And I went and listened to the sample. I was like, you can totally tell. So for those of you that are worried about this, I will tell you, I'm not seeing any less auditions. It's here. It might get better. What that means is you got to be that much better as a voiceover talent. You have to be coached and trained. Otherwise, yeah, don't try and break into this without good coaching and training. Let's talk about maybe some of the little issues, the little bobbles that we had, or anything that might be any funny things that happened. Well, like when we realized that a chapter got loaded up that was missing about 40 minutes of content.
Well, that was a streak on the dreams because we did that. We wanted that one to be ready when the book came out.
Yes.
We missed the deadline by a little bit, not much.
Yeah.
Because the book just came out in November and the audio has been available for at least a month.
Yes.
Maybe, a little more.
Well, it really came out December. Yeah. So like 2.5 months now.
Yes. Right. You know, it's a whole learning curve. All of this is a learning curve.
And my editor was on chat rooms. They had changed. So you go through a process where there's what's called an ACX check. And we had passed all the ACX checks. The chapters had been accepted. You had approved it. And then they came back and said, there's problems, but they didn't tell us where the problems were. And this chapter, this book has 42 chapters in it. So where do you start trying to fix anything? We finally got them to kind of analyze it a little bit. And the editor, I'll shout out to Stephen Sletton for helping us sort it all out. But he had to do a couple things and check the, I don't know, all the codes, the DBZ something or other, and fix it. And then we finally got it up. And
then, but there had been people who bought the book, the audio.
Yes.
See, they had to get a corrected version of it. And one of the people who listened to the audio was actually an Australian cousin.
Yes.
Of your, who said, we were listening. We thought that was odd.
Yeah.
They had the
critical chapter. Anyway, it was so fun. And it's so fun for voiceover talent that want to get into this. I think that this is just, it's just a delightful thing to sort of do like a one person show in a book like this. You know, Street Corner Dreams is Jewish gangsters in New York, it's immigrants. It's a love story like Romeo and Juliet with an Italian woman and a Jewish man. And it's just everything. That would make a great film.
And it's just suspenseful. It's suspenseful.
Page Turner. You can't put it down.
Right. That's what they say.
So one of the greatest things that Florence loves to do is show up at book clubs. So if you have a book club, and we will go together. Some people want to hear from both of us, and especially if it's on Zoom, but we are available and you can reach out to me through the podcast. We're going to have all of Florence's information. How do we find you, Florence? What's the best way?
The best way to find me is either through my website, which is florencereesekraut.com. Mm-hmm. And there's a place there where you can message me and I will get back to you immediately.
Wonderful.
And the other way is, of course, through my email or through Facebook.
Yeah.
If you friend me, you can message me on Facebook. I have an author page, Florence Rees Kraut, author, and you can message me on that. So any of those ways works.
Wonderful. We can also put that in. It'll all be listed. Justine at suchavoice.com is another way if you want to hear more about voiceover or ask us to come and visit with your book club. Since it is Women's History Month, let's talk about one of the most inspiring women to both of us, really, would be your mother, my bubby. And I really heard you say she was an artist. And I heard
she was an artist her whole life.
Her whole life, when it probably wasn't so normal to have the freedom in a home in Flushing, Queens, that your husband was okay with that.
Father was very proud of her.
Yes.
And he absolutely never discouraged her from painting, which was her life. I mean, from the time she was a little girl, her mother used to describe how all she would do is sit at the table with a pencil and a piece of paper drawing all of our brothers and sisters.
Wow.
And she became a really wonderful fine artist.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult for women to get recognized as artists. It still is.
Yes.
Just like, you know, what we're seeing now with the film industry.
100%.
You know, with like Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
Whose film was nominated for the best picture, but she was not nominated for the best director.
Right.
That would not have happened if she had been a man. I could tell you that.
Probably not.
So
yeah.
It's just an interesting story that keeps repeating itself. But my mother was an inspiration because she worked at her art her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And she always said to me that if you have to have something that you really want and you have to pursue it, don't waste your time, she would say. Don't waste your time. She was so right. She was
and
so
how
right.
Wonderful in a day and age, and this is just from my experience talking to people about voiceover and trying to unpack if this was something they'd wanted to do a long time ago, because so many people have the story of, I wanted to do this, but my parents said, you'll never make any money. That won't work. Fall back on something. I hate that phrase, fall back. I say, fall forward. I'm not saying don't get a waiting tables job, but look at that as the investment in what you love.
Right.
Don't ever feel like you can't live a dream.
Can't do what you love, right. I didn't become a social worker to fall back on it. I really loved that work. I loved
Absolutely.
It. I had a wonderful career. And it gave me a lot of juice for writing.
There you go.
Just understanding people and really hearing them tell their stories it makes you realize that if you can bring characters to life the way they bring themselves to life with honesty,
yes,
and truth,
mm-hmm.
That's a gift that you give the reader.
And vulnerability, and the stories, How to Make a Life surrounds around one family member who has mental illness.
Yes.
And what you see is how all the other family members are affected by the one intergenerationally.
Yes.
And all of that is in here. And that I know was, influenced by your work with people and that's what, so.
And trauma. You know, how trauma informs all the generations of a family.
Right. So these characters were so rich to play. There's one chapter that I remember being very nervous to have you listen, where this is the character Ruby. And the book is told in third person.
Right.
Until
all the chapters are third, except for Ruby.
Right. And she is speaking and she, she has mental illness. So there's crazy voices in the head. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to let this come to me, let this come through me. And I remember I was so happy because you were like, oh, we loved it. And I was like,
yes,
oh.
Because you really got it. You really, really got it. You felt about my saying that the way I felt when a psychiatrist who read the book said to me, you really captured what somebody who is in the middle of a schizophrenic episode is experiencing. And I felt that, thank you.
Did it justice.
When I was training, I worked at a psychiatric hospital. So I did see people having, but that had been a long time before. It really is sort of understanding how people suffer when they have mental illness, which I do. I do understand. So.
Well, this has been wonderful. Get these books, How to Make a Life by Florence Reese Kraut, narrated by Justine Reese, and Street Corner Dreams, which again, Women's History Month, we are honoring our mothers, our daughters, our sisters, and our...
All the women.
All the women.
Who have been passed over.
Yep.
The New York Times has been doing obits on women who died a long time ago.
Wow.
Who had done amazing things, but they never published their obituaries. And now they're doing it.
Well, first of all, it's very expensive to publish an obituary.
Yes, we found out recently,
but that's nice that they're doing this.
Yes, that they are doing it.
And thank you, Florence, for answering.
Thank you, Justine. This was fun.
Thank you so much. This was super fun. And we will see you in the library.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about what it takes to become a working voiceover actor, come to an intro class or schedule a voice evaluation with Justine. You can contact her at justinereese@suchavoice.com. That's JustinReess at suchavoice.com. Or check out our website at suchavoice.com. If you like the podcast, subscribe to this channel or leave a review. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.